Tell me one fact that you know about me.
Do you not remember one single thing about me?
Dude, things have been nuts around here. I bet you don't know anything about me.
You were born in Phoenix. You went to school in Tempe. You're an only child. Your favorite show is something called The Real Housewives of Atlanta. And your favorite book is Kendall Jenner's Instagram feed.
How did you know all that?
Because you are constantly talking about yourself. You are the most self-obsessed person I've ever met.
You should see Kendall Jenner's Instagram feed.
TBTM.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's Friday. Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
Why would either one of you, why? Dear God, why?
The reason anyone would do this, if they could, which they can't, would be because they could, which they can't.
I don't like spending time with stupid people.
Hey, do you think you could be my funniness mentor?
I can definitely be your funniness mentor.
Hey, everybody stand by. Here we go again.
All right, buckle up, everybody. As you know what time it is, it's time for a Friday afternoon edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
1:30, 2:30, 3:30.
My name is Luke Burbank. I'm your host.
Mimi!
Brought to you today by roasted peanuts and Coke Zero Calorie, Zero Sugar. This right here, this episode 2753 in a collector series emanating from the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center, perched atop Alabama Hill, in Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City.
Let the fun begin.
Let's see. It's a Friday edition of the show, so what do we got going on? Well, we got some music for your weekend. That's a Friday tradition. By the way, happy Trucktober to all of you. I know that we started the month, I think, remembering to honor the traditions of Trucktober, but I'll be honest, I've forgotten about it in the last couple of weeks, and so just seems like a good time to remind all of you that it is Trucktober. Tell them the bone sent you. I talked this week about how I was signing up for online therapy. Been trying to get my emotional and mental health under control.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
Well, I finally had, by the way, if anybody was having emotional or mental health problems, nothing would make you feel worse than this audio drop.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
You could actually be doing great. And if you heard this drop,
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
You would need online therapy afterwards. So I finally did my online therapy session, my first one. And it was kind of weird, but maybe it kind of worked. I don't know. Speaking of loud, unpleasant sounds, I was getting some lunch today, and it was one of those places where they got a call. You know, they call out the orders. Like when you've put in your order, you give them your name, and then they call your name so you know it's time to come get your food. And I know that they have to be loud to, you know, cut through the noise of the lunch place. But you know how there's like that person, and by the way, it's one of these people sometimes works for the TSA too. They're the person just self-appoints to just be the person who wanders the area yelling at everyone about what the rules are. This is that person, that it's typically a guy, that guy who yells the lunch orders too loud, and he doesn't do it in a normal like way that you talk. It'd be like, I don't want to recreate the trauma I went through today, but he's basically yells in some weird jargon, and it's like, it's not pleasant for anyone. We're at forking lunch. If you work at a place and you think that being like yelling is fun for us, the customers, I promise you, it's not fun. Okay?
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
I did exactly what I'm asking that person at that restaurant not to do to the tens of listeners. Okay. Moving right along. Let's say hello to the longest running Cobrogan of the show, known for his drawings of tall ships, their grace, and their splendor. He might have tacos for dinner tonight. He's not quite sure about it. He's baby stepping. He's doing the work. He's back at it again with the white Vans. He's been co-broganing this show for so long. He and I are just like, we almost think the same thoughts all of the time.
We are so in sync. We're finishing each other's.
Derek!
He's Andrew Walsh, and he joins us now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Hello, my dude.
Hey, Mom! The meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf!
I just thought we were playing audio of Will Ferrell screaming, and I wanted in on it.
Sure.
I wanted in on it. Mm-hmm. Hi, Luke. I like your
hey,
I
buddy.
Like your drop that you played there from The Good Place. You're still good placing it up over there.
Hardcore, dude. Power using. Got most of the way through season two last night. The only reason I will not continue my Good Place binge tonight is because I'm going to go to Portland because tomorrow we have a Livewire show at the Alberta Rose Pub with Phoebe Robinson, one of the two of the Dope Queens. That's kind of a, it's one of those shows where we had sort of agreed to do the show in this very small location before we knew we were going to get Phoebe Robinson on that episode. And had we known, like, we could have sold like 1,000 tickets probably. Instead, I think there's like 80 tickets and they're
all
sold.
That'll be
intimate, so I guess that'll be kind of fun for it will be. Ooh, intimate. So it'll be fun for the people who are there. I know that the Livewire powers that be are pulling their hair out because they're like, missed revenue opportunity. But that'll be
sitting
fun.
Sitting on a golden ticket.
This thing's a friggin' gold mine.
Yeah.
Do we have... is that real? Does that audio exist of Rod Blagojevich? Blagojevich? Or is that just like a transcript of an FBI recording? Because I feel like I can hear Rod Blagojevich saying that, but I don't know if I've actually ever heard him say that or if I've just heard news people reading a transcript of him saying that.
Wasn't it a secret taped phone call? Do we hear?
Yeah, what happened was, for
here
those of you
yeah,
who...
go ahead. Set it up.
Oh, good. So you have it. So Rod Blagojevich, when, I believe it actually was when Barack Obama got elected, that vacated a seat in a Senate seat from Illinois, which then meant Rod Blagojevich as the governor of Illinois. He was the person who got to appoint the replacement. And Rod Blagojevich, never one to miss a chance to grift and graft or to scritch and skiff, was recorded talking about like this. He was not going to just give away this Senate appointment for nothing. He said he had a friggin' gold mine and he wasn't going to give it away, you know, for free. I believe that was the gist of the whole thing.
Then he said, Rolf.
I told my nephew, Alex, he just turned 26 today. I said, Alex, you know, I called him for his birthday. And I said, it's just too bad you're not 4 years older, because I could have given you a U.S. Senate seat for your birthday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, I've got this thing, and it's fucking golden. And I'm just not giving it up for fucking nothing.
Huh?
I'm not going to do it. And I can always use it and fucking parachute me there. I talked to Fred about that. You know, there's life after that if I do it.
He's thinking about actually taking the seat himself? I didn't remember that part. Is that
now
what he
that,
says?
By
I
the
can
way,
parachute myself there?
Huh. That's the heart of a public servant. I think we can hear it right there.
I love that you and I are finally... I mean, we always say that we don't have to be timely on this show. Eventually, we'll get to the stories that matter.
That's right, exactly. The other great part of that was that Blagojevich, he had... I believe it was his hair care products, his blow dryer and other things that he called the football, i.e. the nuclear football, which is, of course, the thing that the president has around all the time in case a nuclear attack needs to be launched. But Blagojevich's version of that, I believe, was hair care related.
I do not remember that. I remember there were some other congressmen who got in trouble. He had something. He had a similar football, but it was like a bunch of – wasn't hair care related. This thing popped up like a year ago. It was a kind of a – I think we might have even talked about it on the show. It was about – the drivers for this politician and everything that they had to do and about like showing up at a certain time. They had very strict rules for driving this politician around, which included like showing up with this football that had various everything from aspirin to I don't know other personal needs, and there are very strict instructions about like what kind of coffee to bring and when to bring it and when to look at them and when to not look at them. That's all I remember. I don't remember any of the details.
I am now deep into the Rod Blagojevich. I love this happening on October 19th.
You know, so this is a 2009 story originally? Is it something like that?
I'm trying to. Wasn't he on The Apprentice? Like either before or after?
Oh,
his whole. I would probably have to be after because he was a Because when he was the governor, he was at least allegedly probably working to do that and would take up too much of his time. Anyway, at some point, just everybody, this will be it. You know what this is going to be? This will be everyone's weekend homework assignment. Go. I won't bore everyone now with this, but everyone just go do a little research on Rod Blagojevich and the football. And then I want like a 2-page paper on Monday submitted, single-spaced. I don't want any of this double-spaced BS. And then we'll just go through those on Monday. Will there be a pop quiz on Blagojevich? I'm not going to tell you because then you'll know if you should study or not.
Then it won't be a pop quiz.
Exactly. I feel sad right now. Not like a overwhelming sadness, Andrew, but a little sadness because when I was in the grocery store today buying some things, I'll try to keep this short because otherwise we're going to blow through nap time. I.e. the break at 15 minutes after the start of the show. But I was in the Hagen, and I – you know what? Let's do this, actually. Let's take a break now.
Ooh, I can already feel – he's in the Hagen. Stay tuned to find out what happens next.
I can feel that it shouldn't take more than 4 minutes, but I'm a man of many words, Andrew.
And those words don't count, and neither do my actions. Don't.
We actually get paid by the word, and I've got my eye on a new speedboat, so I'm going to have to really up the word count today. So everybody just get ready for that. Okay, let's do this. Quick break, and then we'll come back with more TBTL. Stay with us. I think we're going to reenact. It's going to be like The Good Place. I need to write a note and put it in Janet's mouth. Because I feel like I'm about to reenact a conversation with you that we probably had the last time this music played. I bet you I said, is this Vibrant Thing by Q-Tip? And then I bet you said, no, it's the intro music to some Canadian public radio show.
No, I think it was I honestly think it was the music to my old radio show. It's called Golden Trumpet, which is why I picked it.
We're talking about Golden. The Andrew Walsh show.
I think so. And
yes, I think you're right.
It's by the Peter Project, and I only played it because it has Golden in it. But honestly, I'm listening to it now. You think I'd be like, oh, yeah. Like, you know, you work on a show for a long time, and you hear the music for that show years later, and it gives you a sense of place and time. It almost transports you. I wasn't getting a lot of that, but I'm pretty sure that was the theme to that old show I did.
That was. You're absolutely right. And I'm sorry I confused you with the Canadian public radio show As It Happens or the Day After Yesterday or whatever. But that was your theme song on the Andrew Walsh show.
Because they said
it was a good theme song.
They said, you know, you need something. We like the hip hop. We like the hip hop that you bring to the show, but we need more flute. And I said, I think I've got to do the exact thing. But you're right. That sounds very much like some, like 1970, like maybe 1980s era public radio show or a Canadian public radio show from any time. You're absolutely right.
But it also sounds like this, one of my very favorite hip hop songs in a good while. Of course, like all hip hop videos, it starts with some unnecessarily, let's see here. Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Check it out now.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt now. Yeah. Check it out now. No doubt, yeah. Special girl, real good girl. Biggest thing in my itty bitty world. Call her up and she made me feel right.
They were playing this when we were in St. Paul after our event at the at Bauhaus Brew Labs. We went to we're all going to go meet up somewhere, but Carrie was peckish, as was I actually, and so Carrie and I swung by a place to get some food before going to the karaoke meetup spot.
Just say and it. Say what you ordered. Say what you ordered.
The devil's triangle.
Yes.
Well, actually, you know that there was I wrote a tweet about this, which was more popular than I expected it to be. But the tweet made it seem like this was me just going rogue. This was very much Carrie's idea And you've eaten with my wife. You like she's not dainty with the food she orders, despite an appearance that might lead one to think that she's like very calorie conscious. She really wanted to get some wings and she really wanted to get some chicken strips. And I was like, I will not mess with the wings. I've been kind of anti-wing for a while. I will mess with the chicken strips. And I was like, but I would really rather get some mozzarella sticks. She goes, let's get all three. The devil's triangle. but what I was really excited about at this place, I just actually dug this place a lot. I, of course, can't remember the name of it. One of the locals recommended it. It was pretty, let's describe this bar as lived in.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very, and it's, I would say 99% sure that our amazingly cool waitress, who I really liked, who I really vibed with, very certain that she was on either coke or meth.
Mm.
She was definitely on something because she was really friendly, she was really twitchy, and she had a really hard time remembering our various orders. But she handled it all with aplomb. Like, she'd bring us the wrong drink, and then she'd just laugh and give it to us for free and disappear for 5 to 12 minutes and then come back and give us some other random thing. But they had a DJ there who was just spinning the best music, including that Q-Tip song. It was just like hit after hit and after hit after hit. And I was dancing, and poor Carrie, it was must have been mortifying to look across the table, see her 42-year-old husband just openly, and it was dancing like nobody was watching, but somebody was
people
watching, and
were
it was
watching.
Carrie. And
yeah, at least one
there were, yeah, people could see me. I didn't have my invisibility cloak on, and, you know, I regret it now, but I had a fun time. Okay.
So I have a bumper sticker that says, dance like your worst critics are watching.
I right after I said, let's hold this little observation, this story over over past the break, I regretted it because there's not like some huge story. What happened was I was in the grocery store today, and I don't know why. I've been in a weird mood today. I told you I was getting my lunch, and there was a guy yelling the names of the orders. And he was yelling it so loud. It was so much louder than it needed to be. And it jolted everyone standing in line, getting their orders. And then he just like screamed the names of the orders. And I know it probably made him feel like he had a purpose in life. And like he was, again, probably he developed this level, this volume, because over time people wouldn't hear their name. And then they would be wondering. And he did this for a reason. But I just wanted to go up to him and go, bro, dial that back like 3 clicks, please. I've been kind of in a weird mood today for no good reason. I got a good night's sleep last night, took the dog for a walk. I'm in good spirits, or I should be in good spirits, but everything's just been a little on my nerves today. So I go to the grocery store, and the guy who's checking us out is not the checkout person. He's not rude, but he is not one of those checkout people that feels compelled to make small talk or to give, as it were, face to the customers. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Young guy, probably like maybe mid-20s, very fit dude, and just not like, hey, how's it going? Just like I was watching customer after customer try to engage him, and he would engage them only minimally, which I have to say is a power move from the person doing the checking out.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually that job comes with a whole lot of like, hey, you know, what can I do you for? And like, you know, just you're trying to be friendly to the customers. You're trying to brighten their day. They're not trying to brighten your day as the employee. This whole thing was switched around. And there was a small thing, which was, you know, the dividers between the thing that you put in between your groceries and the groceries in front of you.
Yes.
We know what those look like. And sometimes they even put ads on them now, if you've noticed. Mm-hmm. If they're wide enough, there'll be these kind of narrow ads. I'm looking around and trying to find the thing to put between my groceries and the person in front of me. I can't find him because this dude, the checker outer, has them all flipped over so you can't see the ad. And they don't look upside down. They don't look like the thing you think you're looking for, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Takes me like a good 30 seconds or minute to figure out what's going on. So I get mine. And this is a choice on this guy's part. He could just put them – he could lay them down top side up so everyone knows what they are, or he could put them bottom side up so everyone's confused. I find mine. I put it in between. I told you this wasn't a good story. Anyway, now the lady behind me, she's an older woman. She has kind of a scowl on her face, and I'm thinking, is she one of those older people who is nice, or is she one of those older people who is grumpy? And she's looking all over. She's pawing at my groceries a little bit. She's trying to find the divider. And I'm kind of like, do I want to get involved with this woman? Is she nice or is she a grump? But I was just like, screw it. She doesn't know where these are because I didn't either. I reach over. I grab one. I give it to her. I put it in between our groceries. She brightens up, man. She's like so friendly. And she's like, oh, thank you so much. And I'm like, no problem. And I realize she wasn't mad. She was just confused. Like her resting confused face looked like she was a grump. So then I was like, oh, thank God I helped her with that. But I get home. I buy the groceries. I get home and I'm unpacking my groceries. And I have two cans of chopped clams in clam juice.
Oh, no.
That I did not buy.
Oh, no.
In my groceries. And
these are the old ladies.
The old ladies chopped clams in clam juice. And she has no idea. She is somewhere in Bellingham right now. She's about to make her clam chowder for lunch. And this was a pretty elderly woman. Like, this was, I'm sure she had this blocked out on her calendar. This was her entire day. Was going to this grocery store, getting this stuff, going home. And I have her clams. There's no way to get in touch with her.
And now they're chopping up clams. Come on. You know me. I've really, ever since I portrayed a clam in a recent theatrical review, I feel the
very
plight.
Personally.
Yes, I feel the plight of the clam. You know, I am, you and I, man, we are... Well, you just said something at the beginning of the show when you introduced me about how in sync we are.
Hi, Goldfish, darling. Do you like it?
All right, easy.
Keep going.
Easy. We are so in sync today, man. I all week I've been, you know,
Derek.
I like my new routine. I'm getting up at a decent hour. I mentioned that yesterday. It's been great to really stack my day on the earlier side and then go to bed on the earlier side, which I've been doing. Went to bed at probably like 10:30 last night, which is very early for old Andrew, and yet I couldn't get up today. For some reason, I was exhausted. Rolled out of bed at like 8 o'clock, grumpy for no reason whatsoever after a good night's sleep. And then I got, you know, really hungry around 11:30 or so, lunchtime-ish. And so I go to Whole Foods to get some – I'm like, I know what I'm going to go to the hot bar at Whole Foods, and they always have some sort of a – this might not sound appealing to everybody, but if it doesn't sound appealing to you, just let it go. But I like it. They have often some sort of a pulled meat that is simmering. Often it will have like some sort of Indian spices in it. Sometimes it's just a pulled barbecue pork type of situation. But it's kind of a softish meat that you can get a bunch of rice and just plop this stuff on top, and it's a little bit saucy. And that's what I was really in the mood for. So I go over to Whole Foods. And they don't have it. It's like the 11 o'clock to noon hour is a weird time for the hot bar because they're transitioning. You thought your story was boring. They're transitioning from breakfast to lunch. And so it's always, if you go between 11 and noon, you don't know exactly what's going to be waiting for you there. Sometimes it's great because they just put out the lunch stuff and it's fresh as hell and you can be the first person to grab it. Other times it's just a bunch of weird stuff and the meats aren't out there yet. And today it was like that. It was a bunch of delicious looking vegetables, but I wanted a protein. And the only meat they had out in the hot area was a thing of meatballs. And there was literally one and two halves of meatballs in there. I don't know who's chopping up meatballs in the hot bar and then leaving a half a meatball, but that's what I was confronted with. So I'm like, I'm out of here, man. And I stomped out of there, and I'm like, but what do I want to get now? I still wanted something like along those lines, like rice and some sort of saucy meat to put on top of it. And I'm like, oh, there is that Indian place around the corner here, and they have a lunch buffet. And now I know I'm like, I don't want to go to a buffet. I know how I get at buffets. I feel shame going in there. And then also I'm going to eat too much. And
let's just say the sushi buffet at the mall did
yes.
not leave you feeling particularly good about yourself.
Right. And so I go to this Indian buffet right near my house on 65th. I'd passed it a lot. I'd been wanting to try it. So I go in there and, you know, I get my first like plate of food, which is more like a half a plate of food. I try not to go crazy on it because I'm like, just don't do what you always do, which is feel like you have to maximize and eat too much. So I get my first plate of food. And
how much is the buffet, if I might ask?
Oh, it was not much. Actually, it was comparative to what I probably would have paid at the hot bar at Whole Foods. It was around $11 before a tip.
Got it.
By the way, how much do you tip for a buffet? That's another question.
I don't know. When in doubt, I just throw like $2 on the thing. Like if I self-served,
mm-hmm.
but Good question. Anyway, so
it's exactly it's not, what it's I not did. Like, $2. All right. So here's
you're not
the deal, though.
$20, so you're not feeling so much like you have to just like eat and eat and eat.
No, and actually, the story. I mean, I did end up going back for a second plate, and that one I piled up, and I did end up eating too much, and now I'm super groggy and not feeling like. You know, before the show, I felt uncharacteristically like, oh, I'm so full and tired. I don't feel like doing the show, which is honestly a very rare feeling for me to like kind of not be in the mood to do TBTL because it's just fun. But here's what I'm getting at. Talking about behavior of a staff in a restaurant, I know that what they want at this buffet is for us to feel super served. There was never a moment where I had to walk in and wait for anybody to give me a table. I never had to wait for my water to be filled. I know that that's what they're going for. But in reality, what that means is they have a bunch of guys. They're all guys. There were between 2 and 4 of them at any given moment just hanging out in the lobby, all wearing all black t-shirts or black button-down shirts, black jeans. There must be a dress code there. And they're all just standing by my table the whole time. And they're kind of talking, and I can't really hear them. It's not disturbing in that way. I think part of this also has to do with like my shame of eating, and like I don't like people to look at me when I'm eating, and I always feel like an animal when I'm eating, especially at a buffet. But I felt like I had too much attention on me. I just couldn't relax. I'm sitting there like reading my newspaper, but every now and then my eyes would drift up and I just felt like they're always paying attention to like, where's this guy? Does this guy need more water? My eyes were on me the whole time. And it ended up being I know that it was just good service, but it just felt intrusive. I just wanted a little bit of space while I horfed down too much food. Is that relatable in any way? Do you know that feeling when there's just like a bunch of people just kind of standing around waiting to serve you at any given moment and it just feels so much pressure?
I definitely am uncomfortable in situations where the service is either like that. There's a bunch of people. More commonly, what it would be is you go to a fancy restaurant and you're paying a lot of money for it. Like Carrie and I once went to Canlis in Seattle, and I honestly didn't know if the waiter had a left arm. I'm not saying that jokingly.
Right, yeah, yeah.
The waiter's left arm was behind his back, and he was wearing like a black, I don't know, tuxedo or suit or something. I'm not. That's not even like a hacky stand-up joke. I literally was like, oh, that's great. They hired somebody who only has one arm. And then I was like, no, it's been behind his back the entire interaction throughout the night. Because here's what happens. I have it in my mind, probably because of when I worked – at Green Lake Jake's, which was greasy spoon diner by Green Lake, which no longer exists. It's been demolished, and now there's some probably expensive condos there. But I used to work Saturday and Sunday mornings there. I was a dishwasher, and I also had the job sometimes of pouring people's water. And I've talked about this a lot. It was very, very – it was formative for me because I would walk around this restaurant. I didn't want to be there at 7 a.m. on a Saturday. I'm like a 15-year-old kid. It's the last place I want to be. Fill people's water up, and people would just keep shoveling their food into their face, and they wouldn't even look up. Mm-hmm. That really stuck with me. So I have tried to overcompensate. Anyone who comes to my table for any reason, whether they're refilling the water, the bread, whether the server, I will then try to look them in the eye and say, thank you very much. It is totally 100% because of that experience I had, where now I'm trying to make sure that they know that I get that they're a human, and they have hopes and dreams.
That's not a bad lesson to take from that, by the way.
No, it's not a bad lesson, but I'll tell you, it can become fairly exhausting for me, the customer, if the place is like the place you were at. Because if there's constantly someone coming up to the table, which, like you said, is well-intentioned, and if you have committed to a lifestyle of radical thankfulness, as I have in this one area, you end up just being like, thank you very much. And then you look down and you take like half a bite, and now your mouth's full, and then someone else comes up and attends to something. And you're like, thank you very much. And then it's like you swallow, and then it's like, thank you very much. It's like it ends up being kind of a feedback loop. So I know what you mean. I want when I'm dining somewhere, I want enough attention that I don't feel ignored. But it's just like being in a relationship. You want enough retention from the other person that you feel not ignored, but you don't want so much attention you feel smothered. And I think we can all agree, you don't need someone yelling it at the top of their lungs.
Right. I can certainly agree. I know what you're talking about, too. It's the type of person who's at a restaurant, going back to your example of the people who are yelling the sandwich orders, because he's yelling out, like, when an order is ready, then yelling out the customer's name. Do I have that right? Or is he yelling back to the kitchen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, he's yelling the customer's name and what the item is.
Yes.
And, again, I know you have to be loud, because if you just said it normal – well, first of all, it's like – Get a sign, like get one of those electric things that gives the number or something. Because I swear to God, this was a long line sneaking around. It's about noon. We're all standing around. Boy, we had some real lunch adventures today, didn't we, Andrew?
Yeah, we did. This is great.
We've made some real hashtag content just by living our life. Anyway, every time this guy would yell the order, everybody in the line I was watching them would startle. Because, A, we're all looking at our phones, because that's what we now do. B, we're considering our order. Our minds keep drifting, and then the guy would scream out the next thing, and we would go like, ugh. And, like, it was very unpleasant for me anyway. But maybe I'm just overly sensitive today.
No, you know what? I am overly sensitive today, and I'm always overly sensitive. But while we're both in this mode, let me just continue to wind you up. Because I think in those situations, and it applies to the TSA line as well, there is an implied annoyance. This person can be, like, totally friendly and just seem like they're loving their job and, like, hey, yelling and just want to make it clear. But I bet you that routine has come from – was born out of people not hearing it and not paying attention and buried in their phones or listening with headphones or, like, you know what? We're not going to yell this. What did that say?
Sorry about that. That was not supposed to happen.
Oh.
It's a little computer malfunction.
You know what I mean? Like, I think it's TSA as well. It's kind of like, hey, you know, they sometimes mask it like they're just fun, funny people. But it's often kind of like, we don't feel like dealing with your shit anymore. Take the laptop out and listen when we call your number for your pastrami.
Right. Exactly. It's like, we've been down this road before. It's because it's very hard to yell something loudly and in a nice way. Those are things that are not usually part of the same experience. And you're right, the TSA person yelling is not just trying to let you know helpfully what you need to do. It's a way of basically saying, we've all like just handle your shit,
chattel.
Travelers.
Yeah,
chattel, you know. And the same thing with the yelling of the order. It's you could make the argument that he's just yelling loudly so people can hear it, but you know he's processing some shit by yelling loudly in the restaurant. And it's like, process somewhere else, bruh.
I will say this, though. I also, when I'm in a situation like that, to give them a little bit of credit, that has got to, like, for me, that would be the worst job in a restaurant, right? Because I hate having attention called to me. The idea of, like, I think about that, too, when I'm watching football. Like, there are so many things that I would not be able to do on the football field. Basically all of them, you know, including setting the what do you call the little things in the end zone that get knocked over and you got to set them back
pylons?
Up? The little pylons, setting the pylons back up. I could maybe
could
do
you
that.
Be a pylon.
I could maybe be a pylon, but then they'd have to put a camera in me. But anyway, the thing that always impresses me the most is when the quarterback is just loud and assertive. It's like, wow, look at that rookie out there, and he's just calling those plays and just screaming at the top
Blue
of his
80.
Lungs.
Blue 80.
It's like, good on you. Good on you, Baker. It's like, just like an adult now.
We obviously can move on. We've said all that we need to say about this topic.
Are you sure?
No, but like, honestly, how is the system not to just have a number assigned, and then like the DMV, like when your order's up, a number just shows up on the board. I can say this, no good comes from me stereotyping here, but I feel like if we were in a sushi restaurant, I don't think that the solution would be for the sushi chef to yell the name and the number of the order. I feel like it would be handled in a more, I don't know, dignified way or something. Like we all want to get our stuff. We can all have a number. A number could change on this little board, and then we could go get our stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody loses from the yelling except the guy who gets to get out his aggression by yelling my name loudly with my salad. But
what do you think the chances are that this guy also does, like, open mic stand-up somewhere?
I would say he's either into stand-up or MMA.
Okay.
He's doing one of those. Yes. So I don't know. Maybe – Maybe it's just as well that he's getting his aggression out on us, the customers. Let's thank some donors of the day. And let's also, if you know an elderly woman in Bellingham who was getting ready to make clam chowder today, hit me up, luke@tbtl.net. I really want to get these clams back over to this very kindly old lady. The other thing that was bummer about it was, I'm not going to take these clams back. I don't know how much a can of clams is, probably like a dollar. But I also paid $2 or whatever. I bought two cans. Like, if this was tuna, there's a chance I would actually eat the tuna fish. Mm-hmm. I bought a product that I have no use for. Yeah. I don't make anything with clams in it. Now, especially now that you've gone through, you know, your clam surgery.
Right.
Well, I'm definitely not going to eat clams now that you are basically half clam.
Can I mention, I did not, I guess I am extending the story. I did not, I assumed that those got bagged wrong, but that she paid for it. That you actually didn't pay for the clams. Is that a possibility?
I mean, no, I can go get the receipt. We can make this whole thing 12 minutes longer. I mean, the only way they got in my bag was they got scanned.
Yeah.
And went into my bag and I paid for them.
That makes sense.
Let's thank some real vibrant things, Andrew. These are our donors of the day. These are people who donate to TBTL. Some of them, they may have to make hard decisions. They might be like, are we going to get the clams? Are we going to make the clam chowder this week? No, we're going to donate that money to TBTL. And I thank them for that. Alexis Keough of Alexandria, Virginia. Carolyn Bright of West Bloomfield, Michigan. Michael Farnan of Los Angeles, California. Holly Franz, also of Alexandria, Virginia? What if Holly and Alexis know each other?
Something's up, and I don't like it. No, just joking.
Well,
ever since
we Minnesota-fied.
Yeah.
Thing is, this is probably just going to come up through random distribution, but ever since we Minnesota-fied the donors of the day, now anytime there's any kind of, like, two people from the same state or whatever, I think, like, oh, God, the whole spreadsheet is screwed.
Yeah.
It's probably not. It's probably just what happens. And then Gretchen Sammons of Houston, Texas. Gretchen, Holly, Michael, Carolyn, and Alexis. Thank you for thanks for sponsoring TBTL. Thank you for being part of the show. Thank you for making this a job that Andrew and I can have, even on days when we're feeling very sensitive, very grumpy, and very tired. And we have no reason to be.
No reason whatsoever.
We have absolutely no reason to be in the funk that we're in. But you know, I guess that's just what happens. If we do this show 5 days a week all year long, sometimes we're going to be in a funk. Sometimes we're going to be in the same funk. And that's apparently the story today.
Can I tell you something? I am scrolling, like very unscientifically, but doing a quick scroll through the rest of this list, which we have hundreds more people to thank. And thank you. That actually does talk about how much great support we get from you guys. I'm only seeing one more Minnesota. We somehow did burn through, and that's going to happen in probably about a couple of months. And when we think that Minnesotan, we're out. That's it. There are no more. Then there were no more Minnesotas to conquer. So I think I did something weird. I don't know. This can't be a coincidence.
But why would it also then? Why would we have like two Alexandria, Virginias?
I don't know.
In the same way? That's got to be unrelated, right?
I got more questions than answers at this point. Oh, no! Yeah. There's going to be another Minnesota, probably around June. There's going to be another Minneapolis in here. Okay, well, spoiler.
Look forward to that.
Spoiler!
Listen, thanks, Gretchen, Alexis, Carolyn, Michael, Holly. Thanks for helping us do this show. We really do appreciate it. And we say it every day, but it's really true. We would not be able to do this program without your donation. So thanks for making episode 2,753 in a collector series possible.
All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
I wonder if I'm feeling tired and tetchy because I've been mostly not eating meat now for like the last week. So last night, this is not the top story, but last night I was in bed and I was on Amazon looking at basically books about how to transition from this. I feel so embarrassed even saying this.
I love this.
Like I was like, did anybody write a book on how to transition into being a vegan?
Oh, vegan. Because, you're skipping vegetarianism.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Well, that's why I'm embarrassed because it's like I'm not even ready to be a full-on vegetarian at this point. Like, so I'm definitely not ready to be a vegan. That's like skipping two steps. And this is very on brand for me. Like I get a whim and then I'm a raw food eater. I'm not going to eat cooked food anymore.
You never
or whatever.
Did
I make
that.
These. No, but I just mean most people, what they would do would be they would be interested in the idea of maybe reducing their meat intake and then they would eat less meat, which is actually what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's what you're giving yourself a hard time for nothing. I'm sorry to keep interrupting your story, but you're being way too hard.
As long as you're
yourself.
Interrupting to tell me I'm okay.
I'm telling you that I find it inspiring. I really do.
Oh,
and when people talk about even considering making these changes, it makes the people around them think about it too. And you're not trying to get other people to do it, but just by you talking about it makes me think about it a little bit more. And then I know there must be other people who are maybe thinking, you know what, maybe animals, maybe I don't want to keep on eating animals. And so I think it's a right. – and I also disagree that other people do it in a step. I think some people do. But Genevieve was a vegan when I met her. Then she got a load of me and said anyway.
There's another way to live, and it involves right. – No sausage fest left behind.
Yeah, she started dating a fat man in New Hampshire. And New Hampshire doesn't have a lot of vegan options in 2002. So I think it's good. And I also
I appreciate
that
you saying
people
that.
Do just kind of they sometimes they wake up almost like if you're addicted, like smoking or drinking. Sometimes people just wake up and they're like, you know what? I'm done with this now. And that's the way they need to approach it. And so you're taking your journey and I don't think you should be ashamed of it.
Thank you for saying that. I guess what makes me feel embarrassed is this would be the idea that I would be talking a big game or it would sound like I was talking a big game. And then like 6 months from now, I've completely stopped thinking about this
right.
and I'm just back to eating whatever.
Right. You're
and I also feel like
your
to me, the vegan thing is, see, I can like to me, vegetarianism, I feel like I could do that. But I eat a lot of cheese. It's one of my very favorite things on planet Earth. There are like those things kind of around the edges, the things that you lose through veganism that are like would be probably really difficult for me. I was in Hagen today. I put this on Twitter. I know that some of the listeners probably know about this, but they just sell a product. It's a cheese that's not made out of dairy. It's just called nut cheese. And I'm like, really, guys? Like, I know that it's cheese made out of nuts. But you're just going to call it nut cheese?
Right. Do you have any idea how many middle school boys walk down this aisle? Like, you're just going to
exactly.
Be, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like naming your band Hoobastank. Come on, guys. But
nobody would do that.
So last night I was honestly Googling around. Like, I want a guidebook. I want a book that tells me, like, here's the 6 month transition from being a meat eater to being a vegan.
Mm-hmm.
Amazingly, nobody's written that book that I could find. Or you'll see one that like clearly someone self-published and it's like you kind of don't want to buy it because you're like, are they a good writer? So here's the compromise I came to. I ordered Michael Pollan's The Omnivore's Dilemma.
Oh, wow.
Which,
yeah. Classic.
Which is a great book. I think I've even read parts of it before, but I thought, okay, I'm going to start here. Like, I'm just going to read this book or reread this book and just be more thoughtful about what I'm eating. And or try to be, and then see where I'm at in a little while, and then maybe I move to being pescatarian, and then maybe I move to being vegetarian, and then maybe I move to being a vegan. I think vegan is going to be a stretch for me, just because I also kind of feel I'm not trying to. I don't want to open the floodgates to emails telling me how wrong I am. But I kind of, I don't think being a dairy cow is like the greatest life you could have as a cow. And I'm sure there are many examples of ways in which those animals are not treated super great. But I kind of also feel like they don't have to die for the cheese. I know this is like – I'm really asking for it from some of our more strident listeners on all of the ills of the dairy and, you know, the dairy industry maybe. Except our listeners who literally work and own dairy farms, mm-hmm. which also is a group of people that listen to the show. So all of that to say, I've been eating like way less meat. I've just been kind of doing this thing almost without even thinking about it where like last night I ordered Greek food and I've been also, oh my God, I have been just like holding up. Carrie's been working in Seattle this week and I've just been holed up at home with the dog. I realized yesterday, Andrew, I hadn't showered all week.
Oh my God.
I know. Now that's upsetting to you. Now that'll get an Andrew upset.
Not even my oh my God isn't even like you're gross, although you are. But
yeah,
it's
gross.
Just like I can't even imagine. I just can't imagine that life. I mean, there have been days when I go by and then all of a sudden it's nighttime. I'm like, my God, I didn't shower today. How does that happen? But for me, it's like it's such a source of enjoyment and entertainment, I guess.
Or see, I don't
not
really
entertainment, but relaxation certainly.
I don't enjoy the part of when I'm done with the shower and I'm drying off, but I'm cold mm-hmm. and I'm trying to dry my feet off so I don't get water on the bathroom floor. And then I got to like run from the bathroom to get changed. And
oh, like, you don't take your clothes in. We're getting personal, but you don't take your clothes in the bathroom with you, huh?
Depending. Sometimes I do. Like depending on the circumstances, sometimes I will because I'm like, I need to get out of the shower, get these clothes on and go. But if it's just a random day and I'm not in a huge rush, I'll just get out of the shower and then I'll go into the bedroom and I'll kind of figure out what I'm going to wear. Mm. So, but what I realize is because Carrie's not here and because I've been working from home just doing TBTL and then doing other things for CBS and LiveWire, but all stuff I can do from home, I've been basically wearing my Everlane sweats, watching The Good Place at night, ordering food from Viking, and then getting the next day, doing TBTL, doing my other job stuff, taking Rudy for a walk, wash, rinse, repeat, except minus
except,
wash and rinse.
Yeah, right. All you're doing is the repeating, you dirt ball.
Yes. So anyway, I was ordering food last night and I did the same thing the night before. I ordered food through this Viking food delivery service and I just looked through the menu and I was like, what sounds good on this thing and what is not meat-based? And it both – like I'm sorry. Two nights ago, I didn't order from Viking. I ordered from Domino's.
Oh.
And it was so good, dude. But I just got a pizza that didn't have meat on it. It was mm-hmm. delicious.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so funny. I was thinking about this today walking back from the restaurant, the Indian place where I had my lunch, and I did go back and I overate. I purposely put like too little on my first plate because I was like, I know I'm going to go back because I cannot not go back for seconds if I'm at a buffet. Even though if I filled this plate up, it would be more than I could eat. And you don't have to do multiple trips, but just like there's something ingrained in me. So I purposely didn't stack a very tall plate. I filled like half a plate with just a couple of little morsels of this and that for my first plate. I could have ended there. It's the middle of a work day. I don't have to leave that place feeling like a tick that's just, you know, left a bloated whale. I don't know how ticks and whales work. But anyway, I'm wobbling down the street after eating too much and hating myself. And I'm just thinking, I was at the Whole Foods. Like, I basically left that place because there weren't any meat options there. And I swear to you, Luke, I was even thinking like, it's hard to say because I can't say that I was thinking about becoming a vegan, but I was walking down the street today thinking, why didn't I just take the vegetable dishes available at Whole Foods, serve myself a regular portion and come home with it? Like, why do I feel like I have to have meat in every single thing?
Because you'll be exhausted like I am and you won't even have the power to shower.
Well, that's true, although I'm still exhausted and self-loathing.
Speaking of self-loathing, I signed up for this online therapy thing, and I was sort of wondering how it was going to go, and I actually had my first session yesterday. I was going to tell you about it. It was first of all, I was very nervous to internet meet this therapist that I was trying out. I don't know why. I mean, I, for some reason, the act of like of firing up a video chat with this person felt more weird to me and more almost in a way more intimate than just going to the office of a therapist.
Well, you're kind
of
like letting them into your home, right? I mean, that's one thing.
I know,
you
literally,
think about
like,
where
in
am
my
I?
House.
Yeah, where am I setting up the camera? Yeah. What do they see? Can you just go back for 1 second, though? Because the last we talked about this, they had assigned you to a therapist who you then Googled and thought, I don't think that her approach to therapy is really going to fit mine. So you were nervous, but you asked her, can we just move on? And she said, have a good life, buddy. And then, so what happened next? Did you cycle through some more, or did you just go with the next person they assigned you?
Well, what was weird was, so I and for the record, that the previous person was actually very nice.
Yeah,
I was like, hey, no problem.
Right.
Thank God, because I would have been a wreck if she had been offended. So then after that, they then just there's a tab for choose a different therapist. But in that case, they then give you an option, like they just it's like a list of like 30 therapists.
Oh wow!
So I'm looking through all these different people, and the reason I had turned down the first one was because I thought her background seemed to be more in kind of spiritualism, like kind of new age spiritual stuff. That's just not really my jam. And I was like, I was worried that we were going to get to a point where she was going to suggest a modality or suggest a way of me, you know, like you need to get some crystals. And I was just going to be like, that's just not, I'm not into that. So that's why I swerved on the first one. So I go look through all these people. And I'm trying to find people who are just kind of like seem like, nor like what I would think of as normal, traditional kind of, you know, talk therapist. I don't know what the terminology is, but the kind of therapist I've always had, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So I find this person, and she seems pretty. First of all, she had been doing it for 18 years. Some of the people had been doing it for like 4 years. And I was like, I might actually have more therapy experience than 4 years. So I don't want to have been in therapy longer than the person has been doing therapy. Mm-hmm. This is just my 2 cents. So I found that this woman had 18 years of experience. I was like, okay, that's almost 2 decades of doing this. That's good. And she or her you know approach that was listed seemed pretty kind of, I guess, traditional in a way. And so I was like, okay, cool. So I click, and then she gets back to me. We set up an appointment. The time comes. You're right. I'm sitting in my living room. I'm kind of nervous because it's like it doesn't matter how you look, but I also don't. And as we've already established, I hadn't showered.
Yeah.
I didn't put a hat on. So there was that. I had that much going for me.
You did put a hat on.
I did put a hat on.
Okay, let me ask you one more question. I know this is your story, but I have just a lot of questions about this. Do you prefer to have a woman be your therapist, or has it just kind of been a coincidence?
You choose that. You can say your preference is a man or a woman. For whatever reason, historically, I have preferred to have female therapists.
Mm.
Carrie says it's because if we had a guy therapist, I would feel challenged by him in some way. Like there would be, she thinks I have a hard time taking advice or counsel from other men because there's some kind of alpha thing, which she might be right about. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but I have for some reason I seem to take feedback in this arena better when it's coming from a woman.
Okay, that's interesting.
Why.
Yeah.
So you think it would be the opposite? What we can establish is I am not a chauvinist. Thank God.
Right. The doctor was a woman.
Right. Like, but anyway, so I was like, I'm looking for a female therapist. The appointed time comes. This woman boots the thing up, and she was, you know, she the screen flickers. There is her face. Hey, I'm Luke. Hey, I'm so and so. How's it going? Good. She was like, okay, well, you know, like, what do you need or something? And I was just like, ooh, can we, I don't know. I'm trying to think of an analogy here that's not, like, gross. It's like, can we just, like, get to know each other a little bit? Mm-hmm. Can we, like, warm up the water here? Like, mm-hmm. I didn't really want to just jump right into all of my issues with somebody via the internet, via a video chat.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, hey, well, I don't know, you know, what is your therapy approach? And she sort of told me some stuff. And then things got rolling, and then everything seemed okay. She asked the kind of questions therapists ask. And so I was like, okay, I know how this goes. I'm comfortable in this space. So we keep talking. I actually really like just being at my house. By the way, it's the only therapy session I've ever been on time for.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I have another one set up for Monday. I'm sure I'll be late for that. I'm sure I'll figure out a way to be late Even though I don't have to go anywhere for this to happen.
No but offense, but I've surprised that like you didn't like you weren't late because of some technical hitch. Like, what is the? Is it Skype? Is it FaceTime? Is it IPDTL?
It's their own because of HIPAA. It is, Eric actually engineered it.
Okay, good. Okay.
No, because of HIPAA laws, it's something like Skype, but it actually runs through their website.
Good, I like that.
Which
that's
is actually
good.
Yeah. It's something – it has to do with – because these are all real therapists. They're mm-hmm. licensed. It's all very regulated, I think. And so, you log into the system and then when the time comes, there they are. But she's saying like she'd ask me a question. I would answer it. And then she would start like – she had these sheets of paper and she would start like saying something to herself. She'd go, okay, it's this and this and this. And she's like filling things out. And finally I go, what are you filling out? And she's like – oh, I'm doing this thing called NET, which is like some kind of neuro – it's basically acupressure. It's this idea that if you can use acupressure on yourself to help free up some sort of traumas in your life, because I'm paraphrasing here, but the idea is that when we have bad experiences, our body starts actually processing the information around those experiences a little bit differently, and you need to use – physical acupressure massage to kind of like rewire and redirect things. But here's the thing, Andrew. We're not in the same room.
Right. So she's taking notes, like laying the groundwork for if you were to then like need the acupressure treatment.
No. She's then telling me to do acupressure on myself.
What?
She's walking me through acupressure on myself, which is hilarious because I've never even had a therapist IRL do that. Like, what are the chances that this therapy would actually involve physical contact? You know what I mean? Like, were I in her office, presumably she would be doing the acupressure in some way. I just thought it was hilarious that of all of the things to be trying to do online, this is actually the one where it's like, she's like, okay, coaching me through it. Okay, now can you feel that part below your wrist? What? You feel where that little thing is. Put your finger on it. Press it. Now put your hand on your forehead and press that area. And then take a breath and then think about this time when you were, whatever age, and think about the feeling you had when that happened, and then breathe out like bubbles. You're breathing that is now – it's leaving your system. And here's the craziest part, Andrew. I feel like it kind of worked a little bit.
Really? Because I'm getting a bad vibe off of this, and I want to say it's not that I'm against this treatment or the acupressure treatment or the physical aspect of it. But the way you describe it, number one, yes, like this is – your very first thing, you didn't sign up for acupressure. You signed up for therapy, talk therapy. And it seems like if you want this other kind of treatment, they need to make that clear up front. Chances are you're not going to do it via Skype or whatever. And I had a third point that I can't remember because I'm kind of – oh, it sounds also like she's learning it on the fly too. She's like almost like a telemarketer saying, well, if he says this, then you go with it, like a flow chart of information. Like was it that bad or am I misunderstanding?
I think she has some kind of like cheat sheet because it's when you say so. Here's what was actually happening. Now, I feel I'm comfortable talking about all this because I actually didn't leave this experience. I guess I would be comfortable talking about it either way. I didn't leave this experience feeling totally burned by this, even though this was all stuff that's way outside of my normal comfort zone.
Yeah.
What she was basically doing was she would ask me a question. And then I would give my response, and then she would ask me to say a series of things. And then I would say those things, and then based on the sound of my voice, the quality, the volume, she would then do some acupressure on herself and make a note of basically what she thought my voice was indicating.
What
and
the
so then
fuck? I'm sorry. I know I'm being a bully because this is your story and I'm not letting you tell it, but this just feels wrong to me. This feels like quackery.
Well, I agree, except for I honestly, it felt like when I was all said and done with it, I didn't feel like it was the least effective therapy session I've ever had.
Well, then that's good.
I'm totally with you. Like, it's one of those things where I totally think it's BS. Then I went to the website for whatever this NET thing is, and I'm like, oh boy, started in the 80s by a chiropractor and his wife.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I mean, peace and love to our chiropractors in the audience. But it was like, I went to the website of this thing, and I was like, okay, this seems like total quackery. But the funny part is, again, I didn't feel like it was not working. I don't know. I didn't mm-hmm. feel somehow at the end of it, I was like, okay, I'll give it, as our friend Camaro Kev says, I'll give it a day mm-hmm. in court. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, I don't know. We're gonna talk on Monday. We'll see how it goes. I guess what's nice about this being an internet thing is it's low impact on my life. Like, if after Monday I'm like, yeah, that didn't really work for me, I just go to the drop down menu and like get me a less quacky therapist, maybe. I don't know. For some reason, I'm less put off by this than I would think I would be, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and it's your experience, and I shouldn't be so angry, I guess. The thing that I think really bothers me is it's just...
I like it. I feel like you're finally going to bat for me, Andrew.
It just seems like such really a specific kind of therapy, you know. And I just feel like... Because when you were talking about the fact that you can do this via, you know, the internet now, I was like, oh, that's really smart, because that's mostly what it is talking things out.
Right.
And I've been to a therapist a few times in my life, but never for long periods of time. And I often think about, like, going back. I really think I should, as a matter of fact. And you talking about this was kind of tempting. But, like, if you're going to be doing some sort of very specific technique called NET that was created in the 80s by a chiropractor and his wife.
Like, actually, maybe his wife is a chiropractor and he's a researcher or something. It was like there were two people who were kind of vaguely in the medical field, but like anyway, keep going.
It just seems like such a specific thing that should be very
yes.
clear. If you're signing up for that, you're
yes.
like, I'm going to the service. I want to talk to somebody. I'm having some issues. Maybe this is my first time with therapy. I don't even know what it's like. And then you get on and somebody is kind of like doing these weird exercises and almost like paint by number, trying to figure out how to talk you through this very specific type of right. touch therapy. Like, you should have known yeah. that maybe it's great. I mean, I hope it keep, you know, we're talking about Tab yesterday, and one of the best, literally my favorite episode of the Sarah Silverman Show is where Steve Agee, I don't know how to say his name.
Agee.
And who plays his partner in that show?
Brian Posehn.
Posehn, right. Brian Posehn, of course. You know, they're a gay couple, and one of them, like, is orders a Coke and gets a Tab instead. I think most people kind of know this bit. And then the partner's like, just drink the Tab. He's like, oh, okay. Oh, wow. It's the best soda I've ever had in my life. Thanks for opening my eyes to Tab. And the rest of the episode is just this amazing passive-aggressive escalation in their relationship because the one was like, so you tried something new. What's the big deal? And he's like, thank you so much for opening my eyes, and I tried something new. I feel like this is sort of your Tab. Like, hey, you tried something new. You didn't expect it. You didn't sign up for it. And you didn't order it. But you tried the Tab, and you liked it. You legitimately liked it, and so that's good, and that should be my takeaway. But just on principle, I'm a little bit miffed that this you didn't get what you signed up for, I feel like.
I agree with you that it should have been way higher up in the like listing of this kind of therapy that like, oh, and by the way, if you choose this person, you're going to be doing some self-acupressure
yeah.
by way of the internet. Because I would not have – I mean, the reason I skipped the first person was because I thought this is going to get kind of woo-woo. There was one thing this therapist said, which was she was like, I know this sounds kind of woo-woo. So that mm-hmm. – I was like, okay, well, there's that. But I agree with you that like it should have probably been more clearly mentioned that this was going to come up. But on the other hand, I wouldn't have done it.
Right.
I would have – and who knows? It's like, listen – for some reason, I can't quite put my finger on it, although if I had to, this woman could probably talk me through where I need to put my finger and how much pressure to apply. But I... Oh, wait, that's the drum roll. That's not the rim shot. Damn it. Do I even have a rim shot? I can't quite put my finger on it, but I almost feel like there's a net positive to the fact that I just was like, I have very much moved through my adult years being very sure of what I think is and isn't the right way to do things.
Yeah.
And when I encounter something that seems to me to be the wrong way to do something, I'm so dismissive of it. I'm so just like to the point of almost being mean. It's caused many arguments in my relationships. And I just have almost no patience for something that I don't think is the right approach to something.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, I don't know if maybe I'm just having a week, but for whatever reason, I was like, yeah, all right, well, whatever, we'll see what happens. And that's so not my personality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost a little bit happy that I somehow found that part of that side of me. And also, it's like, if it doesn't work or if it's not working for me, I'll just be like, yeah, this isn't a good fit. Let me just get a different therapist. And then it'll just like Skype me up with some other crackpot somewhere else in America.
Right. No, I'm actually, honestly, despite the anger in my voice, I am actually happy for you. And that is, it is a good story. And so, you know, again, it's your tab. And I like that. You tried something new and you liked it. And non-sarcastically, you liked it. And so there's really a lesson for me to take out of that. And I know I'm the one in the wrong here. And again, I'm not even saying that this therapy is bunk. It might be great. But I you know, again, I've made my point. I feel like on principle, it seems wrong, but I'm happy for you.
I think it would be much better if we were in the same room.
Yeah.
Because as I'm like trying to do acupressure on myself, which, by the way, I've never done. I have no formal training in. And like Rudy's sitting on my foot. There's a lap. I'm talking into a laptop. There's a lot of things going against this working.
Right.
So who knows? I can report back next week and tell everyone how it's going. Even though like things tend to get better with time, like we tend to become – we know more about the world and technology and science and things get better with time. You'd think that I'd be more interested in a type of therapy developed in the 80s than a type of therapy developed in the 1920s, like whatever like Freud was doing. But there's something about like I think of therapy as being the therapy that I've always had, which is based in, you know, I don't know if it's Jungian or I really don't even know what branch of therapy I've gone to, but the typical one where you sit across from the therapist, they ask you questions, you answer, and they just sort of guide you through a conversation where you might have some insight by the end of it. You'd think that the 80s would be like we know more. The 80s would be the 80s for some reason seems like a terrible time for a therapy to come out of.
Because I mean that was when they had that thing. I learned about it through watching the Americans EST, those kind of group therapy things. That I feel like there were a lot of like kind of cult of or just kind of like cults based around personalities where some person would write one book and create some sort of new therapy, and then people would become just like super loyal to it. It just seems like 80s. There's a lot of crack pottery going on.
There's like going to be a Nagel drawing somewhere involved in the therapy.
What is a Nagel drawing? Is it an artist?
That's that like – no, you know that like that kind of cartoon? They were like women with very sort of like striking features and defined jawlines, and it was like everywhere in the 80s. If you Google it, you'll see it like a Nagel.
Let's just say there's one. Yeah, I'm having trouble.
I don't know. Nagel probably. Okay.
Let me see here.
Let me just say there's probably a Nagel somewhere in that house that's in the middle place.
Okay. Yeah, good. You've gotten to the middle place. I almost used some tape about the middle place in today's show, but I was like, I don't want to spoil anything for you.
How great is it that it's a woman from Workaholics?
I know. I wish I could think of her name off the top of my head, but I can't think of like super famous people's names off the top of my head, so I'll give myself a
anyway,
break on that one.
I shall report back next week as long as this isn't too boring. Well, listen, if it's too boring for the listeners, I can go back to complaints about my lunch order if people would like that. Or I can report on how my self-administered acupressure is going. The other thing about this, and then I'll shut up because we've got to do Music Free Weekend and we got to get out of here, is the thing that – the appealing part about this service was – which, by the way, like therapy is not the kind of thing that you want to – go for like the bargain basement approach. You'll probably get what you pay for.
Right.
But part of this whole thing is that you pay a couple $100 a month and then it's unlimited. Whereas like normal therapy, depending on what your insurance is, and we don't have great insurance for it. Not that I want that to be a reason for you to not do it, Andrew, but you end up paying most of it out of pocket.
Mm.
And so normal therapy, you know, might be $150 a visit or something. If you do that every week, you know, that's a lot of dough at the end of the month. So this one is you can like it's unlimited amount of therapy, but it's almost like you at the buffet. I almost wanted to be like with this woman. Like my instinct was because the session, even though it was weird, I felt like it was overall kind of helpful for me to talk to someone. I was almost tempted to be like, so what are you doing tomorrow? And then what about Monday? And then what about Tuesday? Because like if I do this 5 days a week, if it's the same for me to do this once a month or 20 times a month, that kind of like I got to go back through the Indian buffet line and get my money's worth, it also applies to this.
Right.
Like I'm like all the therapy I can eat, all the all the self-directed acupressure I can do. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm like, but is that going to be annoying to her? Or if I get a different therapist, or what if I get two therapists or five therapists? The possibilities are endless.
Oh, man, that conversation when you have to tell one therapist that you have, like, two other therapists on the side, it's got to be awkward.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you next week how it goes. All right, let's play a couple tunes and then get out of here. Would you mind starting? Because I'm going to be honest with you, Andrew. I have not picked my music for your weekend selection yet. So maybe if you have yours selected, that would buy me some time.
Yeah, I want to play this old kind of R&B. So we were talking about the Marvelettes earlier this week, and I was trying to – I know there's a Marvelettes song that I absolutely adore, but I went through so much Marvelettes stuff today, and I can't figure out what my favorite Marvelettes song is. One of these days I'll find it, and I'll freak out on you, and I'll play it. But in doing that, I came across the Flirtations, who were another, you know, an R&B girl group, a trio from the early 60s. And they're labeled as – you've probably heard of, like, Northern Soul, right, where you had, like – it was, like, kind of out of, I think, England or Great Britain, maybe more broadly. It was, like, soul sounds, but it was kind of – you know, in Great Britain. This is an
circa like when
60s. So it's kind of okay. Like that Detroit R&B sound, but it was happening in Europe too, and they call that Northern Soul. These guys are grouped okay. in with that, but they're actually from the United States, but I think that their label was British. None of that really should impact how you feel about this song, but it's called Nothing But a Heartache. Let's take a listen. About the fidelity on this, it's really hard. I went to Spotify to find one, but the only one on Spotify is like some redone version that they did in modern times. So this is the most consistent version I could find. The video, which I'm playing,
I liked
now,
it.
Is amazing. I'm going to send you this video. They're somewhere clearly in like. Somewhere in Europe, they're like dancing in a bunch of ruins. They have these pink outfits on, like these, like I want to say this one is probably late 60s. They have these incredible pink outfits on, and they're just like dancing around these old castle ruins. It's something to see.
I like the fact that it's like the fidelity is low.
Yeah, it kind of adds
like
to
that
it.
That actually kind of like that feels to me like that's kind of that's how that is supposed to sound. It's supposed to sound like it's playing on an old record. Okay, This is what I'm doing here, Andrew. I'm like feverishly scrolling through the photos on my phone because something that happens sometimes, I'll be listening to music here at the house and I'll hear a song that I don't recognize, but I'll like it and I want to go back to it. So I'll just take a picture, like I'll go on the Sonos app or whatever and take a picture of the song so that I can refer back to it. I never refer back to it except right now. So I found something. The song I think is called Voyage. I think the band is maybe called Blue and Green, and this is not a strong sales pitch for this, but I was wondering if you could find that, if you can play it, and then that can be my music for your weekend.
Okay, Blue and Green, Voyage. Okay, you ready for this?
Yes.
Okay, here we
yes,
go.
Yes, I am ready.
Okay.
Now, is this Is this, like, I'm Googling around trying to figure out, this is a Miles Davis, there's a Miles Davis record, right? Blue and Green?
There's a song off of Kind of Blue that is called, you know, Kind of Blue is his, like, that's his, like, Sergeant Pepper, right? That's the album I listen to on airplanes all the time. And he has a song on there called Blue and Green.
Is this sampling that?
Well, the name of the, oh, I see, the name of the band is Blue and Green, right? And it looks like they have a bunch of albums here, so I doubt they all sample Miles Davis. This doesn't sound like anything that I recognize. But you know what it sounds like? It sounds like my Canadian public radio show just ended, and now it's, like, late. Now it's, like, the sun has set. It's, like, 9 or 10. It's 10 o'clock at night, and now it's time for you. Here, I'm going to bump this up, and then I want you to come in and introduce your new Canadian show, okay?
Sure. Welcome to everyone to Pardon Me After Hours. From Moose Jaw to Yellowknife and up north to Jasper, we have all the news that's fit to funk. This is the Canadian show where we deliver news from rural Canada over the sounds of reworked Miles Davis.
I got to say, good on you. It just occurred to me as I set you up for that. I was like, God, if you did that to me, I would choke so fucking bad. I would just be like, I guess we're just cutting this all out. Thank you for being a sport and actually delivering on that.
Well, yes, and, you know, so I try to do. All right. Okay, that wasn't a big hit. Next year, next week, we do the show yearly or weekly.
I didn't dislike it.
I like it, too. Like, but, I mean, I went, like, it's like, who knows why I decide to take a picture of these songs when I do. Uh-huh. Like, that's the kind of music. What we just heard, like, I enjoy that music, but I feel weird recommending it, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the kind of thing that gives me a good feeling if I'm in my kitchen cooking and having a glass of wine. But I also feel, for some reason, like, it doesn't rise to the level of something I want to, like, run out and be like, you guys,
right?
You got to check this out. Like, I don't know what that, like, strata of music is, but that, for some reason, that song was in that strata for me. But anyway, we have a recommendation here from a listener Erica, and this will bring us to the end of our broadcast week. Erica says, hi guys, I recently watched To All the Boys I've Loved Before on Netflix, and I've been listening to the soundtrack on repeat now for about a month. The song Chinatown by Wild Nothing has been running through my head. It's actually from 2010, but it's new to me. Some fantastic dream pop. Well, you had me at dream pop. nobody loves a fuzzy guitar like old LB. And actually, Wild Nothing, I think we've played him on the show before. I really like Wild Nothing. In fact, I think we've played this off this album, Gemini. I think we've actually played some of this stuff. But this was new to me, and it's the recommendation of listener Erica. So we will play that. We will break for the weekend, and we'll be right back here on Monday with more Imaginary Radio for you. Everybody, enjoy your weekend. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of TBTL. Go Browns. Go Seahawks.
Wait.
Go eat a bagel.
Seahawks bye week, right?
Yeah, but, you know, while they're strategizing for the future.
Sure.
I mean, I just mean generally.
Right. I know. I guess that was one of those thoughts that I didn't have to throw out there, but I have no filter. My apologies. You were ending the show, and I have extended it for no purpose whatsoever.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if this show ends up being 3 hours long, because, like, we start talking again, we pause Wild Nothing, we get on to some other topic. The listeners were so confused when the show was wrapping at an hour 20.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, well, the show's 3 hours, but they were trying to stop at an hour and 20, so what the F happened?
Is there going to be a bunch of blank space? Hey, let me say one thing since I already interrupted you anyway. I will say that you and I have been doing this show for an hour and 20 minutes right now. I feel so much better than I did when I started this show.
Good.
So, everybody, I'm sorry if it was a little bit of a negativity train this week, but if it means anything to you, I had a great time. You made me laugh, and now I am ready to enjoy my weekend. So, thank you for putting up with me.
Well, that's good, Andrew, but I think something that's going to help you even more is I need you to take your right hand, and I need you to put a little pressure
on
the area between your thumb and your forefinger.
Oh, the eczema spot. Got it. Okay.
You know what? Well, I've got some reading to do over the weekend. I've got to learn how to do acupressure by remote,
for
and then on
vegans.
Monday I'll give you some more.
Yeah, acupressure for vegans.
There's our show title,
okay,
acupressure,
great.
Remote acupressure for vegans. See, totally worth it. We didn't even
Absolutely.
Have a good show title. I'm glad that you clarified that the Seahawks aren't playing. All right, thanks, everybody. We'll see you on Monday. Until then, remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
power out.